We're going to learn Daf Samach Aleph from Masechtas Nedarim. We're actually going to start from the, I guess, third to last line from the bottom of Samach Aleph Beis, where the Gemara is continuing from. The Mishnah was discussing when you say a day, you make an edda that it's usher for a day, so then it's usher for 24 hours. Versus if you say that it's going to be usher for today, then it's only usher till the end of the day. So the Gemara asks a variation of that. What if you just say the word yoim, but you don't say hayoim, you don't say today or for 24 hours, what would be the halacha? So where we left off, the Gemara didn't have a raya one way or the other. So finally we may have done this already, but let's do it again quickly. Amar Rav Ashi, Toshma. So the Rav Ashi says, I'll bring you a raya. Second line from the bottom of Samach Aleph Beis, Toshma, I'll bring you a raya. Konim yayin shani toyim hashono. It says, a person says, I'm not going to eat wine hashono. The year. So I'm just going to translate the year. And the halacha is in Sabra Hashanah, Asr Ba Ubi Ibura. So the halacha would then be that it's Asr for that year, including if it's an Ivri year, including if it's an extra month. Now, the Gemara says, hey, Chidami, what's the case over here that we're talking about, that we're discussing, that it includes, the Chiddush, that it includes even the Ivri year? Elam, and now I'm on the top of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Elam, if we're talking about literally that he said Hashanah this year, and the way the Ran learns, we're talking about that he made this neder in the middle of the year, and it's just a matter of finishing out the year. So if that's the way we're going to read it, Lama Lila Mamer, what would you have to say? Why do you have to tell me anything? Of course, you said this year until Rosh Hashanah, whatever, however many months it is, whether it's 9 months, 10 months, or even 13 months, whatever it is, till the end of the year, that's what it includes. So there would be no chiddush in this price of the fact that it happened to be in Ivri Yar. Alalav de Omer Shana. So it must be that he used the permutation of the word Shana without saying either this year or a year. He just says the word Shana. And almost, so from here we see Shana kehashana dami. By the fact that we say that it includes the Ivri Yar, it's coming to tell us that the word Shana is like the till the end of the year. That's the way the Ran learns. Actually, the other Rishonim learn differently. But the Ran learns kehashana. It's till the end of the year, till Rosh Hashanah. So if that's true, that the word Shana by itself means that the Yoim nami kehayoim dine, and therefore the word Yoim also fits into that permutation to say that it means kehayoim. Just like Shana meant Hashana, this year, so to Yoim means kehayoim, today. So it's the same, it'll be the same halacha. That's what the Havamina of the Gemara is. So, just so that you know, the Rosh learns that it actually means just the opposite. The Shana kehashana means this year. It actually means this year, but there's also no chiddush to that, because it means whatever this year is. But obviously, if it means till the next time this year, it doesn't matter how many months it takes till it gets to that month. Anyway, at least that was the Havamina of the Gemara. Anyway, so we see the Gemara very clearly says that the word Yom should mean Kehayom. So the Gemara says, Lo'olam de'omer Hashanah. The case is that we're going back, that it said the word Hashanah this year, and the problem with the Gemara was that there's no Chiddush. So the Gemara says, yeah, there is a Chiddush. Umar detema halacha roiv hashanim. And you might think that this year should follow what a normal average year is. V'lo ispahu ibur. And an average year doesn't, a regular year, most years don't have an extra month. And therefore that extra month should not be included. Kamash Malon, so that's why the Brisa has to tell us that it does mean to include that extra month. When I say till the end of the year, that is the Chiddush. So there's a Chiddush. Originally we thought there's no Chiddush. Of course it just means till the end of the year. We play out the year. But the Chiddush is, no, that it does mean that extra month as well, however long it takes. However, Lamaisa, based on that teretz of the Gemara, we don't have a raya back and forth one way or the other whether yoy means today or a day. So therefore, the Ran paskins lechumra that it is going to mean the full 24 hours. That's the, so to speak, the end of that sugya. Well, it's not really the end, because the Gemara now continues. The Gemara has a question. Now, we'll see the way the Ran learns. I say it's not really the end of the sugya, although the Ran specifically says this question is really not contingent on the Gemara before. But Lemaisa, it's a similar type of question. So Yiboyluhu, the Gemara asks, Omar Yain Shani Toyim Yoivil. He says, I want to make it Osir for Yoivil. So the question is, So here's where the Ran says it's not the same question as before, because we already said that it's a bayis shalo yev shita. We already know that the word yovel, in other words, it could have said ha yovel, which means this yovel, or a yovel, which would mean a full 50 years. That would literally be the same question that the Gemara just asked a moment ago. So therefore, the Ran says it's not the same question; it has to be something different. So the question over here really is, when is Yovel, as the Gemara itself will elaborate. So, Mike, what would be the halacha when the guy says, "I'm Osir a Yovel"? So Shnas Chamishim Kilifnei Chamishim, is the 50th year like the previous Cheshbon of 50 years? Or is it mean after Chamishim? Now, it's very hard to translate these words because they don't translate literally. But the way the Ran learns the Gemara's question is very simple. When we have a cycle of 50 years for Shemitah, we all know that after seven times Shemitah, which is each a seven-year cycle, after seven times of seven-year cycle, we then have another year which is called Shemitah, which is the, so to speak, the 50th year. And that's without a doubt, that's the way the Torah set it up, that's not a question. The question is, really, when it comes to that year 50, whether that year 50 is an independent, so to speak, extra year, that is not part of any seven-year cycle. So if 7, 7, 7, 7, 1, and then start over 7, 7, 7, 7, that 50th year. So that 50, if you learn like that, then that 50th year really is the conclusion of the seven-time cycle. Whereas, the other version is that the 50th year is not completely independent. The 50th year is already part of the counting of the next 49 years, and then eventually you'll have a 50th year. So that 50th year goes both ways. It's the 50th year tacked on after the 7-year cycle, but it's also the beginning of the next cycle. Now, the way the Ran learns, the nafkamina would be, okay, what difference does it make in Hilchus Nedarim? So the way the Ran learns is that if it's an independent year, so then it's really only attached to the prior 7 cycles. It's only attached. So when I say I'm Osir until Yovel, it's since the Yovel is attached to the previous cycle and I'm in the middle of that cycle, the year of Yovel is going to be Osir itself, included in the Neder. Whereas, if the 50th year is also year 1 of the next set of 7s, so then it's really not attached to the previous cycle, it's really attached to the next year, because it's already year 1 of the next 7-year cycle. In which case, when I say my neder is Osir until Yovel, Yovel is really part of the next cycle. So I don't really mean to include that as part of my neder, because that's already attached to the next cycle. So, but what it comes out over here is that really this is not so much a question in Nedarim per se. Obviously it impacts Nedarim. It's really a question of what is the cheshbon of the 50th year, whether the 50th year counts as one of the years in the cycle or not. Okay? So that's the, that becomes the question. So interestingly, so why is the Gemara asking the question over here? This is really simply a question. How do you count the 50 years? What does it have to do with Nedarim? So I saw it, and I don't remember what. The Mishnah doesn't give the example Yovel. He said very interesting, because nowadays we're not noyeg Yovel, since we're not in Eretz Yisrael or whatever. We lost the track of the cheshbon of Yovel, so we don't do Yovel. So the neder is the place where the nafkamina would be relevant. So therefore, the sugya nedarim is where it comes up. So the Meila, that's where the Gemara discusses it over here. Even though, you're right, because there is, so to speak, no other good place in Shas to discuss this question. We still need to know the answer of what the cheshbon of Yovel is. But here is where Yovel, where in the context of Nedar, and where it becomes relevant. Anyway, so the bottom line is let's make this less complicated. Let's simplify. The question is the 50th year 50 of the after 49, or is 50 year 1 also year 1 of the next 49 year cycle? Okay, and therefore that would make an afkamina whether it's included in the neder or not. This is all, by the way, part of This is all lefi the Ran. The Mefarish learns a little bit differently, and the Mefarish learns that because the Ran is assuming that you made the neder in the middle of the Shemitah cycle. Whereas if you recall on Tzamach, when we learned the sugya, the Ran said, when we talk about Shabbos in the Mishnah, the Ran said, brought another pirish, which he didn't like. He brought another pirish that says that you made the neder on Shabbos itself, and then the question was whether that Shabbos goes through the whole week or not. So the Mefarish learns like that other pshat that the Ran doesn't like, and says that you actually made the neder on Shemitah itself, on Yovel itself, and now the question is whether you mean this Yovel or do you mean the next Yovel. And again, the Nafkamina is the same. Is this Yovel part of the previous Cheshbon, or is this Yovel part of the, goes towards the Cheshbon of the next 49 years? It's at the end of the day, it's the same question. It's just a Nafkamina of how you learn the case in the Gemara. Regardless of the context of Nedarim, this really just boils down to a very simple question. Is the Shemitah year its own independent 50th year? You have 49, 50, and then start over one? Or is 50 also go both ways? It's 49, 50, and it's also year one of the next 49-year cycle. So, let's try to get to an answer of that. Toshima, back into the Gemara. So, I'll bring you a riot. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Pluk to the Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. Okay, at the end of the day, this boils down to Machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan paskin like this: V'kedash them eshnas hachamishim shna shano. So the pasuk says you should make holy the 50th year. So we dashen like this: shnas hachamishim atamoyne. You count a 50th year. V'i atamoyne shnas chamishim va'achas, and you don't count the 51st year. Okay, what the Gemara is trying to say, it's a little bit of an interesting diuk, but he's saying that the 50th year is its own year, and it's not part of, and you don't count the 51st year, because the 51st year is part of the next Cheshbon, implying that year one starts after 50. That's the point that the Gemara is trying to make. So there's 50 by itself, and then you start the next cycle over again. So therefore, according to the Rabbanon, Mikan Amru Yovel Eina Oyle Leminyan Shvua. So according to the Rabbanon, Yovel is not part of any cycle of Shemitah, any Shemitah cycle. However, Rabbi Yehuda argues and says Yovel Oyle Leminyan Shvua. He says, notwithstanding the pasuk, the it doesn't matter. It's still Shvua. It's true that it's after the 49th year, but it's also part of the next Shemitah cycle. So the Gemara, of course, they ask directly on it. Amar Loi the Rabbi Yehuda. So they ask Rabbi Yehuda, Harei Oimer Sheish Shanim Tizra Sadecha. But you have to have, every Shemitah cycle has to have a 6-year period where it's possible to plant, and then you go into Shemitah. But according to the Ein Kan Ela Chomesh, but according to your Cheshbon, that year one is also Yovel. Well, that if year one is Yovel and year seven is Shemitah, then you only have 5 years in between. So it doesn't fit the pasuk. The pasuk says you have to be allowed to plant for 6 years, and you're only getting 5 years out of the process. Amar Lahan, so Rabbi Yehuda answered very simple. Lidivrechem, even according to your words, that you want to be so literal in the pasuk, Harei Oimer, I have a different pasuk that is problematic for you. Because the pasuk says, Ve'asisa es hatfua l'sholosh hashanim. The pasuk gives us a bracha that if we keep Shemitah, there'll be enough supply for 3 years. Now, why do we need 3 years? We need 3 years because the year before Shemitah is when we grow it. That's when we have the crop. Then we have Shemitah itself. There's nothing growing, so we need the previous year's crop. And then the following year, since you didn't plant anything or grow anything during Shemitah, you don't have any food supply until that year's supply then grows in. So that means during that third year also you need a supply, and that supply is going to come from 3 years ago. It's going to come from the sixth year. So in other words, the sixth year, Shemitah, and the first year all are relying on the produce that came about in the sixth year. So it's 3 years. So, but the Gemara says, however, Hare Kan Arba. But if you're going to say that it goes 49, if it goes 49 and then 50th is a separate year, you really have 4 years. Now this question is also a question on Rabbi Yehuda himself. It's not, Rabbi Yehuda was saying, even though he says Lidivrechem, this question is to you, it is a question on Rabbi Yehuda as well. However, the point that Rabbi Yehuda is making is that you're going to have to answer this. You're going to have to explain it also, and your result is going to be that the psukim are lav dafka. So, Ela Ikka L'Ukma B'Shar Shnei Shavua. So you're, and the only way you're going to answer, again, I'm going to have to answer this as well, but you're going to have to mask him to answer that this cycle, this idea that you need a 3-year supply is talking about all the other years of the cycle, not the cycle that comes up with, together with Yovel. So the same way you're answering that this, even though the Pasuk says it, making it sound like it applies every time, it doesn't really apply every time, it's every time but the Shemitah year, but the Yovel year. So Delinami, so I'll say the same thing. I'll say also that I'm saying when the Torah says that you plant for 6 years, it's all the other cycles. All the other 6 out of the 7 cycles are going to be a 6-year cycle, meaning 6 years that you can plant. But there's one exception to the rule, and that's the first cycle itself. That's part of Shemitah. Okay, so this the same way. What?
Neither side do you answer the question anyhow.
So the Gemara now quotes out of Pesach Aser. So the Gemara was really just quoting one line from the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Samach said that when a person makes an eder out of Pesach, it's only Aser until Pesach. It's not Aser throughout the entire Pesach. However, that's according to Shitas Reb Meir. Reb Yossi argues and says that it's Aser until the end of Pesach. Okay, so that's, I mean, unless, if you said the words Ad Sheyagia, then everybody agrees it's only until you reach. But if you said Ad Pesach, you didn't say the word Ad Sheyagia, so then it's a Machlokes Reb Meir and Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara takes this Machlokes one step further and says, we assume Ad V'loyad V'chlal. When I say until, I mean until and not including. That is the presumption of the Gemara, unless of course you specifically meant to include what's included. If you meant to include the whatever it is, the subject as well, then obviously it's not v'loyad b'chlal, then it's b'chlal as well. But that is part of where Rabbi Yossi is coming from, and he says, no, I said until, but I mean until including the time or the object or whatever it is. Okay, so now the Gemara has a very interesting perspective on this. Lememra, if that's the machlekes between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, because some people, even though Bederech Klal, as Benjamin pointed out, we say ad v'loya ad b'chlal, that is the rule of thumb that we take. However, it's not clear that every single person, that's not what they necessarily meant. Some people really did mean to include, and some people didn't. Which means the inclusion of that extra time or space or whatever we're talking about is really unclear. It's unclear. Most people, that's what they mean, but there's always that exception to the rule. So since it remains unclear, the Gemara takes the approach as follows. The Meir de Reb Meir Sover, loy mail inish nafshe lesveka. That a person does not put himself into a situation where it's unclear whether he meant to include it or not. And as we said, since most people don't mean to include it, Reb Meir says, I'm not getting involved in that. That's not something that I meant to include. And therefore, it is not included in my neder. That is Reb Meir's approach. And that's why he says it's only until Pesach and it doesn't include Pesach. However, now on the top of Samach Aleph and Beis, second word is Rav Yossi Sava. Rav Yossi says, Mail inish, minish, not, Mail inish nafshe lesveka, that a person does and is willing to get himself involved in something that's unclear, that it might not be clear one way or another to everybody. So I'm saying that I could mean to include even what the time period that is unclear. That's the approach. So it comes out Rav Meir is clear and Rav Yossi is unclear. Now, I'm saying it like this for a reason. When we get to the Maskana of the Gemara, I'll show you why I'm saying it like that. But, so that's what we're pulling out of our Mishnah. Problem is, very many, I'll ask you a contradiction. Now, this case has nothing to do with Nedarim. It's a completely different case. But it does have the same concept of, does a person say something which is unclear? Or when he says something which is unclear, he means the clearest interpretation and doesn't mean anything else. And it turns out to be a machlekes, Rabbi Yossi and Reb Meir, and they say exactly the opposite of what we just said. Again, just as a reminder, Reb Meir is the one who says we try to stay clear, and Rabbi Yossi is the one who says it could sometimes be unclear. However, for a minute, I'll ask you a contradiction. A person has 2 sets of daughters, an older and a younger daughter, from 2 sets of wives. For whatever reason, the Ran throws in that the first wife died and then he married a second wife, and the Mepharshim talk about why that's relevant, but for our purposes, it's an older, it's clear from the case that the daughters that he had from the first wife are both older than the daughters that he's going to have from the second wife. And we're talking about a case where all the girls that we're discussing over here are all under the age of 12, or maybe they're 12 and a half, or under the age of 12 and a half, and they give the father reshus to marry them off. And this guy comes back and he says that I married off my older daughter. Now, that's all he defines the case. He just says older daughter. Any idea, he doesn't know, in the Gedolish of Gedolish, does he mean the older of the older set? In the Gedolish of Gedolish, does he mean the older of the younger set? In Gedolish of Gedolish, what does he mean the younger of the older set? Which, Shehi Gedolim in the Gedolish of Gedolish, which younger of the older set is still older than the older of the younger set. Okay? So, if you had to label them, they're 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2 are the older, from the first wife. 3 and 4 are from the second wife. Number 2, which is the younger of the first wife, is still older than 3 and 4, so that she possibly could be defined as the bigger one, because she's bigger and older than the next set of wives. So, all of those are included in the suffix. So, Kula Nasurois Tiviremeir. Rameir says that they're all going to be usher because any one of them could potentially possibly be the one he married off. Chutz min haketanis shebeketanis, except for the youngest of the young, because she doesn't fit the definition of older under any sense. There's no way to call her the older one. In any event, so we see that according to Rameir, since he wasn't clear, we now attribute to him the fact that maybe he meant this, maybe he meant that, and it's possible that he meant something unclear. He wasn't as clear as he could be. So now all of a sudden, Reb Meir is the one that's unclear. And on the flip side, Reb Yosi argues, says, no, kula mutaris, everybody is mutar chutz min hagedolish habegedolus, except for the oldest of the older set, because that is clear. That when he says the oldest, when I say oldest, what do I mean? I mean literally the oldest. I don't mean the older of the younger of the older. I don't mean all of those permutations. I mean to be clear. So it comes out that Rabbi Yossi now is the shita that says that we have to be clear, and if anything is unclear, I mean the clearest version of it. And Reb Meir is the one who's unclear, which is exactly the opposite in our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, Reb Meir was the one who was saying that we need to avoid being unclear, and here we're saying, no, according to Reb Meir, the guy is unclear. He actually is potentially meaning to be unclear, or means the case that is not as clear as it could be. So we have a contradiction in what their shitas are. So Amar Rav Chanina, Bar Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Mechlefes HaShita. So Rav Chanina Bar Rav Dimi says we switch around the shita. Now this can be confusing because the halacha, well not the halacha, the way the Ran learns is that we switch the shita means we switch the version in our Mishnah. Really the version by the girls, who's the oldest and who's the youngest, that's the base. That's the shita that we're going to go with. And we're going to switch the shita in our Mishnah to make Rav Meir the one who remains unclear. And so, in other words, Reb Meir would now be the one saying that it means until the end of Pesach, and Rabbi Yosef would be the one that's clear, like, no, Pesach, I'm not really sure. I mean to include it, so it's not included. Rabbi Yosef would be the one that is clear. Okay, so that's what comes out. Vahatanya, and we have a braisa, which, by the way, over here, even though sometimes the word vahatanya means as a question, we read it, vahatanya, oh, but we learned like this. That's not what it means over here. Over here, vahatanya is benichusa, meaning that we're going to bring a braisa. And also, I have a braisa, which will prove the point, because we see, zeaklal, kol shezmanoi kavua, anytime there's a set time. Now, we're going to talk about this also for a second. Anytime there's a set time, what does a set time mean? The way the Ran learns is set time means that we know when it's going to end. We know that it has a beginning and an end. So then, Kosher's man of Amr ad lifnei, and use the words ad lifnei, Reb Meir Omer ad sheyotza. And now Reb Meir is including until the end. So here again you see that it's clearly Reb Meir's shita that is saying that we do include the extra period of time. And Rabbi Yossi, Ad Sheyagia, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's only until the time until it comes, and we don't include the extra time. So this Brisa proves that the way to flip it, that even Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi are the flipped around version of them. That Rabbi Meir is the one that does include the extra time, and Rabbi Yossi is the one that does not include the extra time. Okay? So that is, so now, just on this last point before we go back onto the overall sugya for a second, but we see that Zman Kavua, again, the way the Ran learns Zman Kavua is that we know how long it's going to last. Not only when it's going to start, but we also know how long it's going to last. Like Pesach. Pesach, we know how many days Pesach is. It's not a question. As opposed to the cases that we're going to come across now in the next Mishnah. So without mentioning specifically, but in the next Mishnah, we're going to talk about a time period which doesn't necessarily have an exact, a precise ending time. That is, by the way, the way the Ran learns. That the Ran learns that we define Kavua by the fact that it has a set period of time. Its duration is a set period of time versus something that does not have a set period of time, like summer. Summer could sometimes be longer, sometimes it could be shorter. I know on the calendar it's a set date, but in terms of when it actually is warm or actually cold outside or whatever, it could be a variable time. So therefore, that's not Zman Kavua, at least the way the Ran learns. There are others that learn that it means, Zman Kavua means what we would have imagined it means, which is when it starts. It has a set time where I know it's going to, where I know it's going to start. Okay, that's just so that you know there are other Rishonim that learn that's how to define it. Okay, but now, back to the overall sugya over here. It seems very clear from our Gemara over here that we're flipping around the shitas, that Rabbi Yossi now is the one that tries to keep it clear, and Rabbi Meir is the one that says that, no, even if it could possibly mean that, that's what we're going to include as well. So, just so as a siman l'davar, this is how I remember, because the Gemara says this in a number of places, it says, Rabbi Yossi nemukai imoi. Rabbi Yossi, was always considered somebody who was very clear. Now, the Gemara is saying that in a completely different context. It's saying that when we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, because what he always says was always deeper and clear with what he understood. So that's, again, when I learn, I'm using that as a simon, how do I remember what the conclusion of the Gemara over here is, that Rabbi Yossi, again, I'm borrowing this from another Gemara that has nothing to do with this Gemara, but Rabbi Yossi remains the clear one. Okay? That's why Rabbi Yossi, and even though our Mishnah says the opposite, L'maisa, we flip it around. That is how the Rambam learns the Maskana of the Gemara. So it's a Machlekes, interestingly, between the Rambam and the Ramban, how to paskin this conclusion of the Gemara. Because the piece of information that we're missing from this Gemara is almost word for word repeated in the Gemara in Kedushin, where the Gemara talks about the girls. The Gemara takes this perspective and asks our Mishnah as a contradiction. And the Gemara over there, the problem is the following. The Gemara over there has two terutzim. Here the Gemara has one terutz. Here the Gemara just simply says we flip around the sugyas. But there, in the Gemara in Kedushin, the Gemara gives a different teretz, it comes up with an akimta, and has a whole different teretz to the Gemara. In which case, we don't need to flip around the shitas Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. We don't need to flip around the shitas. And it comes out that what Rav Yossi is saying, according to the Gemara in Kedushin, Rav Yossi remains the unclear one. So, and the rule of thumb is that when you have a machlekes Rav Yossi and Rav Meir, we pass him like Rav Yossi. So now it gets very confusing, because now we have a machlekes, or we have two different gemaras. We have a gemara in Nedarim and a gemara in Kedushin about what Rabbi Yossi actually said. Our gemara here switches around Rabbi Yossi. The gemara in Kedushin gives that as one teretz of the gemara, but then also gives a different teretz, in which case it doesn't flip around shitas Rabbi Yossi. So the Rambam, as I said, the Rambam paskins like our gemara, because he holds that since this is relevant to Nedarim and this is the main sugya, so since this is the main sugya and doesn't mention the other teretz that's relevant to Gedushin, so therefore, since this is the main sugya, we're going to paskin like this sugya and we're going to flip around the shitas and we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi that says that that a person remains clear, he doesn't get himself involved in sfeikas. That's the way the Rambam learns. The Ramban, on the other hand, says, no, we have that sugya over there, and the Gemara over there doesn't switch around the shitas, And therefore, we paskin, if we don't have to switch around the shitas, we'd rather stick to the shitas the way they're written and the way that we have the Messiah in our Mishnais. So the Ramban paskins like Rabbi Yossi as the one who's unclear. Okay, so we have Machlekes Rishonim, how we paskin, this Shiloh. Okay, and Yerushalmi also seems to leave this question unanswered. So that's the way the Ran learns also, that we leave it unanswered. So therefore we go l'chumra. What does l'chumra mean according to the Ran? L'chumra means when it comes in the context of nedarim, that always means we include more in the neder than less. So that's the way the Ran is going to learn, which would be like more like the Ramban and not like the Rambam. Okay, just throwing in a lot of shitas over here, but that is what this sugya is about. Okay. So that's an interesting piece that the Ran brings in. Okay, that takes us to the next Mishnah. So the next Mishnah, Ada Kotzir. So now remember, all these cases we're still talking about Nedarim, and we're talking in the context. Remember, this Perek is all talking about timing. It's all about timing. Person makes a Neder. And he says, I'm making this neder until the harvesting period. The kotzer is the things that you would, as we'll see in the Gemara, things that you would harvest with your hands. Ada botzer, until you would gather. Botzer is usually referring to gathering of grapes. Ad hamasik, until we gather the olives. Olives, masik, because you eventually squeeze the olives. But the masik is referring to what you cut, so... But with the olives. So Eina Usser Ella Ad Shiagia. So 1 second. All those cases, the Mishnah is telling us, if I said the word Ad, I mean until the beginning of that time, until the time starts, but not including the time itself. Okay, so once again, this is the quote that we had before. Zaklal, the rule is Kol Shez Mane Kavua, if it has a set time. So remember, just as a reminder, we said that the Ran Shita is Man Kavua, means that it has a beginning and an end. It has a duration period. V'omer Ad Sheyagia, Aser Ad Sheyagia. If it has a set time, and the person says until we reach that time, what he means very clearly is until we reach that set time. Because it has a clear timing, so we mean until that time. Amar ad sheyehei, but if he uses the words ad sheyehei, which means until it is, but it's also an unclear and not a common way to say things. In which case we say aser ad sheyotza. Then, so it's ad sheyehei, until it is. So what do I mean? It is Pesach. So if I say it is Pesach, now I mean until the end of Pesach, because now we're including. Because obviously, again, just in the way we would say it in English, is until Pesach is, so then it has to be Pesach. It has to be is Pesach. Otherwise, so that's why it has to include Pesach itself, so it means until Pesach ends. Now all of this is because we have a set time, and the person realizes, and he knows when Pesach, for example, is going to be over, and therefore when he says until it is Pesach, he means to include Pesach itself. However, v'chol she'ein zmanei kavua, but if we don't have a set time, again, sticking to the Ran's pshat, which means we don't know when that period of time is going to end, Ben Omer Ad Sheyagia, whether he says until it is, or until it comes, or it reaches, Eina Aser Ela Ad Sheyagia. Then in that case, for sure, he only means to Aser until it starts. Because, again, using the logic of the Ran is very simple, because I don't know how long it's going to last. So if I don't know how long it's going to last, why would I make a nether to an open-ended in an unending period of time. Now, eventually it will end, but I don't know when that end is going to be. Person won't naturally, again, I could always say until the end of the time. I could always say that. Here we're talking about a case where he uses a lashon which could be interpreted one way or the other. So the question is, what did he mean? Since we don't have a set time, we assume that he didn't mean to use it, to include a time that he doesn't know what it means. So therefore, we say, Achiagi, it's only until the starting of a season. So, for example, a season doesn't necessarily have an exact time, either exact in terms of when it starts or a duration of time, whatever it is. Since it's unclear, it just means until it is. The mission concludes and says, Ad ha-kayetz, until the... Now, we translate the word kayetz means summer, but that's not how they translate. The Mefarshim over here translate until the harvest. And not only does it mean a harvest, but as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, it means the harvesting that you do with your hands. So ad hakayitz, until the harvesting period, ad sheyehei hakayitz, or until it becomes the harvesting period, ad sheyaschidu ha'om lahachnis b'kakol. So this is actually the answer of the Mishnah. This is not part of the Neder. The Gemara is saying that when I use those phrases, what I mean to say is until the people bring in their baskets. So when the people start bringing in their baskets, that means that's the end of that season, and that's what you meant to include. So ad hakayitz and ad sheyehei hakayitz. So yehei means to include, and since again it's a little bit tricky over here because it doesn't exactly have a precise time, but it has a precise timing that we know what you're referring to. So it's until people start bringing in the baskets, that's the end of that season. That's what's included in the neder. But if you say ad shiyavar hakayitz, until the summer is over, so then until it passes, now you mean to include the entire season, right? So just for nuance purposes, ad lahachnis b'kalkolos means they're bringing in the baskets, means they start bringing in the baskets. Once they start bringing in the baskets, that's the end of, so to speak, what you were referring to, and that's similar to ad shiyagia, because that's the beginning of the season. Whereas if you say Ache Yavar Akayetz, which is the next Lashon of the Mishnah, until it passes, now you're including the period itself, because you want it to be over. You want it to pass. So then, Ache Yakfilu Hamiktoiz, and that means until you, the way the Ran learns, and other Mepharshim as well, means until you fold up your knives. Until you put away, you store your knives for the season. Because even though it's not the beginning, it's clearly end, when you only put away your knives, you only store them at the end of the season, after you're done. So since that's what you asked for. You said Ache Yavar, until it's done. So once it's done, so then it goes all the way till you put away your tools. Once you put away your tools, then you know the season is going to be over. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. That when we talk about Ein Zman Kavua, he's talking about we don't know when the season is going to start. We don't know when it, so it's the same idea, but the Ran takes it one step further that it has to do with the duration, and a person is unwilling to get himself involved in a neder for a duration, a period of time that he doesn't know how long that time is going to be. Usually when I'm makabel upon myself a timing, I know what I'm getting myself into. At the moment you're dealing with a duration that I don't know what it is, the person is a little bit more uncomfortable because I have no idea how long it's going to last. That's always the issue. If I don't know how long it's going to last, you know, it's always much harder. Versus, that's the way the Ran learns, versus the Mefarish and other Rishonim that learn that it means I don't know when it's going to start. But it's the same idea. So I don't know when it's going to start, so that's when I say, Achiyyeh, until it will be, because I don't know when it will be. Whenever it is, that's when I'm making myself awesome. Until it will be, whenever that may be. And that makes a lot of sense in the context of a season. I don't know when the season actually is going to start. Great. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. We're just going to do the Gemara till the two dots on towards the bottom of the Yamin. The Gemara says like this, Tana. Kalkolo sha'amru. So remember, at the end of the Mishnah, we said that the cutting season, the harvesting season, was until they bring the baskets in. So what's this referring to? Kalkolo sha'amru, kalkolo shel te'enim. We're referring to the beginning of the baskets that have to do with figs. V'loy kalkolo shel anovim, and not grapes. Now, what's the difference between grapes and figs? Figs, apparently, you pluck off the tree with your hands because the branches are brittle, and you can crack them off, so you don't need a tool. Whereas grapes, as we know, with grapes, if you think of the vines are a little bit soft. So since they're a little soft, you have to use, it's much easier and also a little thicker, you have to use a tool in order to cut them off. So when we talk about kalkola, we're talking about those things. Kayetz means literally to snap off, to break off. So you're breaking it off with your hands, that's the season that we're talking about, which the grape season is a little bit later. Tanya, and we say it like this, we have a brisa similar to this. Hanoidir mi peiris hakayetz. I say I'm not going to eat those peiritz hakayetz, fruit of the kayetz. So what do I mean, the summer fruit? And usur ela betanim. Again, in English this doesn't work so well because us, the word summer has nothing to do with the harvesting. But in those, the word kayetz, really, it's called summer because of the harvest. But again, in English that it doesn't translate well, so you have to stick to the Hebrew version. Or the Lashon HaKodesh, HaKayetz, Eina Osir, Ela B'Tainim, so he means only the figs, because the figs are what you crack off, what you break off. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Anovim, Bechlal, Te'enim. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, it does also include grapes as well. Now, why would I do that? My taimo? The Tanakamo? My taimo? What's the reason? Tanakamo kosov, but what's the Tanakamo? Te'enim mikatsin biyodo? It's very clear. That figs, I break off with my hand. I crack it off. Anovim lo mikatsin mitzitzan biyodo. I don't break off grapes with my hand. Again, not talking about plucking off an individual grape. We're talking about a cluster. A cluster of grapes, you would not take it off with your hands. So therefore, it's not included in kayats, in cutting off. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel Savar, Anovim Nami, Ki Mirzidon Mikatsa Biyodo. When it comes to grapes also eventually towards the end of the season when it dries up, it does get hard, and it does get hard enough that at that point you could crack it off with your hand. So Mamela, grapes also are included in kites, even though naturally and for the most part you're using a tool, but eventually you could break it off in your hand. So when I say summer, like, you know, what are my summer memories? My summer memories are going out into the field and picking the blueberries or whatever. So here he's saying also that it does include the grapes, because the grapes also can be taken by hand, and therefore it fits into the definition of kites. All right, we'll stop over here.